On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, a podcast series brought to you by our good friends at Insurance Journal. And as we look forward to 2019, our theme is we're covering InsurTech, and we're covering branding and marketing themes as we head into 2019. And the impact in particular on the independent agent and broker system. Our very special guest today is Joey Giangiola, who's with Agency Nation and TrustedChoice.com. I should say Joey Giangiola. It's like the Italian thing, Joey, right? You got to say it the right way.
You know, you came real close. It happened so often, Peter. I mean, it was very close.
It's the third syllables where the you put the what do you call it? The emphasis on. So the third syllable is go. So Giangiola. If you go to Italy, you hear it all the time. It's it's very interesting.
For sure.
So
I will not hold against you.
Well, Joey, we wanted to chat with you because you guys are the InsurTech, if you will, for the independent agents, TrustedChoice.com, you know, kind of building it from the inside out. It's been around a long time. It's been around since, I think, 2001 or so. TrustedChoice.com is newer, but the brand, if you will, the consumer face to the independent agent has been around since 2001. Joey, I think one of the things, I mean, a lot of our listeners know you, I'm sure, but maybe you could give us a thumbnail of where you came from, because you are also coming from the inside and with the knowledge you have as an agent. So maybe a little bit about your background, where you came from, how you got involved in insurance, and how you got involved in TrustedChoice.com.
Yeah, absolutely. So my grandfather started an insurance agency in 1955, so I grew up in an insurance family, so to speak. So my goal growing up was to do everything but sell insurance. And that lasted for a couple years after college. Then it just, you know, like most things do, the family business gets the best of you. And I joined the family agency for the better part of 10 years, selling primarily health insurance. So I don't know how I got into this P&C crowd, but they've accepted me nonetheless. And from there, I was always kind of moonlighting, you know, kind of sharing some of my experiences. You know, I leveraged in my agency, you know, heavily video marketing, specifically on YouTube, in addition to, you know, writing content, writing articles and search engine optimization and all that fun stuff. And so as you kind of do those things, people start asking questions and instead of answering them over and over again, it's just easier sometimes to talk about them in kind of a broader scope. So I've always been involved in kind of discussing that in some way, shape, or form for, you know, the better part of, you know, 5 or 6 years, I would say. But more formally joined up with my friends over at TrustedChoice.com and Agency Nation, and really kind of elevated that to the next level, to where, you know, we kind of are in front of a pretty good sized community in the insurance industry of people who are looking to do things a little bit differently, to help understand some of these things, to get the buy-in from the people that, you know, that older generation that they might be struggling with in the agency currently, and just kind of make them feel like it's going to be okay. Just a nice shoulder to cry on, or just, you know, kind of a nice warm hug whenever they need it.
There is a dichotomy out there of, I don't know whether it's exactly two camps, but it seems like there are agents who, maybe there are three camps, Joey. One camp is, they're probably your best customers. You're the ones who are fully embracing everything you have to say about digital marketing and the consumer experience. And then there's a big middle of people who probably know they need to do something, but aren't willing or able to really act in the way in which they should. They're looking for that silver bullet, maybe. And then there's the which doesn't exist, by the way. And then there's the third camp, which is sort of time is passing them by and they've had a good run. And I just spoke to a bunch of agents at a conference, and I was reflecting on that because I said, you know what, you guys have had a good run. I mean, baby boomer owners who aren't changing at all probably have 5-10 more years of riding this baby out. And if they don't want to do anything, I mean, it's a free country and it's a great business and they can do it. I don't know whether they'll be around much longer than 10 years from now, but but that's okay. Maybe that's okay. I mean, so maybe they're not exactly thirds, but that's how I see it anyway.
For sure, I couldn't have split it up any better. And I think starting with the last one that you mentioned, there is nothing. It's like do what you do, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting continuing to do the things that you have because it's obviously worked. It's just a matter of do you have somebody next in line that you want to set them up for? If not, it's like, hey, I'm just going to sell it when it comes time. There's no insurance or marketing shame to be had here. You know what I mean? Like it's just like you said, like. It's good. I think the hardest, I think where we're struggling the most is that middle camp. It's like they kind of see it, they want to do it, but how do they rise above the circumstances that they're kind of surrounded with every day to make those changes, to make it a reality? And it's usually a combination of all three of those people inside of maybe one agency, and how do they end up, where do those battles get won at, and who wins them? And I think that's where the dangerous part of it is that, if you have that person that's ready to ride it out into the sunset, but then you've also got those people inside that same agency that maybe see the need or want to address the need, but don't necessarily feel empowered or really know how to do it. And then you ultimately got the passionate ones who even actively try and maybe even in some cases get shut down. It's when those things start to collide, that's when I think it's a problem. But as long as if they're living in their own separate insurance worlds, I think all of them are, perfectly fine.
Yeah. It seems like the messaging at trustedchoice.com has truly evolved over the years. It appears you're looking for some real plain English, committed to keeping it real. For example, we're knocking this nonsense out of the insurance binding process. It from when you're speaking to consumers and maybe when you're speaking to agents too, which is a different lens. Insurance is full of jargon. The industry is just full of technical stuff and nuance and so on. How do you see that? Is that resonating with consumers, this new approach in your mind? Because a lot of the insurtechs are doing this. Lemonade, for example, has a rather astonishing, simple and short, and I don't know if it's real or not, or true, I should say, not real. I know it's real. It's a real video. But it's like, wow, I didn't realize that insurance could actually be that simple. How is it resonating?
I mean, it's never a good day when you make someone feel stupid. So I think that's kind of the first thing that we always we leaned on that kind of approach, and I think it's resonating very well. Again, speaking to my own experience in the industry, I turned to, back in 2011, I turned a webcam on and I just started talking the way that I would, talk to anybody about, anything. I just happened to be talking about insurance. And that seemed to be, that's like one of the first things, people would call and reference. It's like, oh, I actually enjoyed watching a video or understanding. It's like you made it. I don't want to use the word fun. I mean, that's been said to me, but it's just like speaking in a way that makes people understand it. It's not threatening. Like, yeah, you might be smart, but if you can't accurately convey that to somebody and they don't understand it, then you've actually done the exact opposite thing of what you're trying to achieve. So. And same things with agents. I hear the same thing with agents of it's just like, no nonsense, just like getting to the point, just being realistic with it and telling it like it is, because I think that's the one thing that the digital marketing, the customer experience movement has maybe taught people that's underlying. Like we focus on the tools and the tactics a lot, but really what it's come down to is that information is available, whether you want to give it to them or not. And the first person that gives it to them is ultimately the one that's going to gain the most trust. And that's kind of what we're after, throughout this entire process, is who can gain the most trust as fast as possible in the place that they want to find it.
Okay. So talk about the community a little bit, because I know you do a lot of, you mentioned video. I know you do a lot of video, you do a lot of writing. You're speaking to the independent agent out there. What are the characteristics of agents and brokers that are doing some things that you admire, the things that you're espousing that they do? I mean, who are these people? Where are they? Are they all ages or on the younger side? Are they a kind of agency that skews to simple needs like personal lines and small commercial? Or Is it all the above and other characteristics? Like what do you know about this tribe that's in trustedchoice.com?
Wow, how much time do we have, Peter? I don't know. Let's see. So, to try and keep it as kind of tightly knit as possible. So, one of my personal like first success stories of people that I've ever kind of talked to about this stuff that I've actually seen action on is from actually a younger agent who's a couple years younger than I am, in his very late 20s, soon to be early 30s. But he focuses primarily on contractors in the state of New York. And he'd always done that, but he never really focused it in a way online that was kind of as efficient and effective as it could be. He bought a lot of Google AdWords, and even that would feel progressive to some, I might say. But when I kind of met him, I was like, hey, dude, like this kind of worked for me. I think it'd really work for you. And I said, hey, listen, talk about contractors, talk about the best contractors insurance, do all these things for contractors. And it dramatically increased to the point where he was able to replace his entire lead flow with paid versus organic. So he just started writing, and it wasn't video, it wasn't anything fancy. He just wrote, a handful of posts a year. They were very targeted, they're very specific, very intentional. They had a lot of strategy behind them, and they ended up working. And that's basically the number one driver of where he gets all of his new business from. It's increased, the size of his, average account to where, what he would have been happy with through a Google AdWords, kind of prospect, he doesn't even bother with. He gives that to his brother. He will traditionally write much larger accounts now because he is focusing on value-based things as opposed to words like cheapest and low cost. So that's just, definitely one example. And I guess that's my buddy Rob McCarthy out in New York, grbminsurance.com, if you want to check that out.
Okay.
Or if you even
Nice
do that, I
shout-out.
also, yeah, no, for sure. And it's, and I, well, the test is, I like to give the test. If you just Google best contractors insurance in New York, wherever you're at in the country, you're going to find him number one. So that's the entire state of New York. So that's the fun thing to do. So.
Yeah. So you're saying these people are writing all different kinds of insurance, but that is an example of a focused approach. Do you think
Yeah.
that, again, getting back to the tribe and the ones who are getting those referrals from trustedchoice.com and you're seeing it working, are there a lot of niche players like that?
So the ones that are the ones that are getting the referrals, I would say that a lot of it is niche focused. We do a lot of work. Nissa Leader, our kind of our SEO guru over at trustedchoice.com, is driving over 6 million visitors to trustedchoice.com every year. So that's pretty intense. And that is focused on a variety of segments throughout the industry. And the people that are getting the referrals, they're definitely closing, a wide range of it's, I would say probably more commercial than personal. I honestly, Peter, they don't let me over onto that side too often, so I can't speak too in depth on the absolute detail of those. But they're just what that is that allows them to kind of get a taste for what is possible, and then essentially fold that into their strategy, right? And they kind of see the power of those inbound leads of people that have built a relationship with you prior to prior to knowing who you are and feeling like you've given them value, understanding the insurance buying process, again, before they've even spoken. And that's what we're able to do at trustedchoice.com, where they've gone through that process. They found an article, they found some piece of information that has helped them get to that point, and then they've ultimately request to be helped with an actual live human being, and that's when we send them off to somebody that is obviously part of that program.
Right, sure. So what do you think, different take on a similar question, but what should agents and brokers be thinking about these days from a technology standpoint and a customer experience standpoint? Because today I think they're so intertwined.
Yeah.
But what do you think, what are some things that they should be thinking about and investing in, Joey?
Do you want to get like real specific, like specific tools, or do you want to talk like high level, like kind of like where their mind should be as far as what those tools would allow them to do?
Yeah, I think maybe start generally and then maybe you could throw out some ideas specifically.
So, I mean, I think, to be honest, Peter, the easiest way to get your brain around it, and it took me a long time to figure it out, but it's really about where do you want the relationship to start? You know, before it was at the Chamber of Commerce, and that still might be a good place. Before it was, showing up at on the Little League t-shirt, and these are all things that can be leveraged in the process, but it's, the relationship has the ability to start basically at a lot of different places now. And where do you want that to start? And how are you going to put that in front of them? Whether it is a video, whether it's an article, whatever the thing is, kind of figure that out. And so that's going to dictate, the strategy and the technology that comes kind of behind it. There's a lot that can kind of go into that, because just creating a video or just writing an article, depending on where your agency's at, could lead to a string of questions of how do I do that? How do I post a blog post? All of those fun things. How do I run a Facebook ad campaign? All of that stuff can kind of be overwhelming, but I think it's back to like the line of business thing. It's just simplify it, figure out which one might be most conductive to your personality, what you might feel best suited for. And then from there, kind of drill down and figure out what platforms. But I think some type of tool that is going to allow your message to scale and for people to access it on demand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So meaning your office is open 9 to 5. What about, 8:30 at night? Somebody's looking for, some help. They have a question. What can you provide them in that environment? That's the kind of the threshold, in my opinion, of that customer experience of, what is available for them from you in that time period when those doors are, kind of technically closed. And to be honest, one of the simplest, easiest, if we're just talking basic technology tools that does not cost, well, it could be free if you wanted to, but it could just be as little as $10 a month. Something as simple as like an online scheduling tool, I think dramatically improves that customer experience. Not even that ridiculously technology savvy, if you will. It's just, hey, I've got a thing online where if somebody is on your website at 9 o'clock at night and they want to talk to Tom Smith about their, homeowners insurance, they can book a time for first thing Monday morning or, whatever it is at 9:30 or whatever he's got available. Right. And they know that when they walk away from that problem process of like trying to find an answer to a problem, they know that, hey, listen, that, hopefully by, Monday at 10 o'clock, I should have this thing taken care of. And I think that's just starting really simple like that. Not even a lot of agents are there yet. So I think something along the lines of streamlining that and just making yourself accessible, both kind of by appointment and your knowledge, if you will.
Yeah, that's such a great example, Joey. You think about that from the customer perspective, it is kind of a big deal. I mean, I was talking to another InsurTech leader who said that 60% of the inquirers' activity, well, email and calls, are occurring after 5 p.m. during the work week, with a spike around 9 o'clock. Maybe that's when shows are over or whatever.
Yep.
But it's intriguing when you get the dreaded phone tree, right? And I know TrustedChoice.com has done a lot of recording of those calls that your customers via referral get. It's quite frightening, the voicemail systems that go nowhere. But an elegant scheduling system, people are comfortable with that. So that's a great idea.
It doesn't need to be over complex, right? And like you said, it's just thinking about your own experience of when was the last, when you've tried to get a hold of somebody. And it's just, we're not giving them enough to start that relationship, to build the trust and to want to, actively do things. It doesn't have to be, too involved. I mean, at first, but, it's just real simple and practical. So I'm pretty big on that. So, but that's just me.
Let me ask you, Joey, about InsurTech generally and some of the things out there. I mean, you guys do a conference, you do a lot of writing about what's going on out there. You're probably talking to a lot of these folks. What do you think about the impact of these on the independent agent and broker, and ultimately how you think it's going to shift? There's been a change in my mind of the insurance industry trying to pretend they're not there or talking bad about them, and then realizing now today, 3, 4, 5 years later, that, oh yeah, maybe we could learn something from these guys. But The other side of the coin is, will there be all of that disruption that's been predicted? I mean, what's your take generally on what you're seeing out there, particularly the independent agent and broker side of things?
Yeah, I think we've moved past the doom and gloom era, if you will, of InsurTech. I think we've kind of entered into the ones that are willing to pay attention and use the things that are at their disposal are the ones that are going to kind of stay in the game. And that's I think, the most interesting thing is what tools are going to become available to make us better. And that's really what, a lot of this is. Almost every, InsurTech that is, that's kind of going direct to consumer. I mean, they're getting some traction, I would say, maybe, but I don't know that any of it's, I mean, we're all still here mostly from what I can tell. So, whether it's just going to take another 5 or 10 years, as you mentioned, it's going to eat away at that segment, that third that is just not actively doing anything. It's possible. I'm just interested in to see what, how we can, marry the two to become more efficient, to provide a better experience, but ultimately, find a way to keep that person that's kind of seen it for however long and give them a better experience. Where I don't know, and this is going to take it a little down to the Terminator 2 Judgment Day sort of thing road, is there will come a time where technology will evolve, and this might be 15 or 20 years down the road, but to where, information will be able to be processed faster than we could possibly evaluate it. And it will be monitored and tracked and in some cases underwritten, well, more than likely underwritten in a time frame. So there'll just be things happening a lot faster. And if that's, even if we are building our value proposition around, being a risk manager, it's how long can you stay in front of that? If that risk is being managed at, within milliseconds. So it's just what role, and I've asked a couple, insurance carrier CEOs, this question, and they've kind of scratched their head at it too. So it's not like this is something that anybody has the answer to. It's just continually thinking of how do we continue to position ourselves to be the most helpful and resourceful to the client as possible.
Yeah, so true. I mean, you don't want to be in a situation where you're like the automotive industry where, people used to do lug nuts on cars by hand and then now machines do them. So what is the guy that did lug nuts for 40 years? Does he or she relearn something new? I mean, if underwriters don't exist because we have machine learning and AI, et cetera, what could an underwriter do? How could they pivot in the future? It is a little bit scary. I don't think it's just agents or brokers. I think it's a lot of jobs in the industry, don't you think?
Sure. I mean, it's just not even in the industry, just in general, like jobs, period. I don't know. I mean, I guess I always look at it from the standpoint of if I'm the guy putting the lug nut on, like, do I want to put the lug nut on? I don't know. Maybe I do, but I personally don't. So it's like, like you said, is there a way to elevate yourself outside of that? I think even like the most simplest example, and this isn't necessarily insure tech, but like the simplest example of, like you said, like just from a human infrastructure standpoint is, back office support, right? It's, hey, we're going to hire somebody to service these policies. We're going to have them sit in the office. They got their own little cube. Things are great. They got pictures of their kids up. Fantastic. But, we've evolved, businesses have evolved to where, that can be done, probably cheaper and more efficiently somewhere probably around the world, right? And it's, are we taking advantage of that geographical proximity, right? Is that value being in that community that you're trying to serve? Are those kind of skills and services being deployed at their kind of peak value? Versus, having them process that auto change when, again, somebody else at half the cost, whatever it is, can do it, and they can do it in a way that it's not just them. There's, a backup to that person and a backup to that person to where it's always on. So I think those are kind of just, again, the mindsets of like thinking about what's possible and how, different business models and technology, I guess, to some extent, can allow you to leverage the things that you are already currently good at. It's just a matter of translating them and finding out where that kind of maximum value is.
All right, Joey. Well, since you are Joey Giangola from TrustedChoice.com and you're quite the rock star, I have to put you on the spot with a bonus question.
Sure.
And this is something you're very familiar with. We agree that agents should be doing more video they should be doing more video of themselves, their customers, their employees. Everybody should be doing more video, and where you post it is there's a lot of choices there too. So give us, if you can, 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 tips on great video and affordable video and doable video for agents. What would you say?
I'm smiling, Peter. You can't see me. This is a podcast. If we were doing video, you could see me smiling. 10 tips. You're gonna have to keep track. I don't know if I'm gonna remember how many I toss out here.
Just fire them off.
So, one, you can probably do pretty good video with the phone that is currently in your pocket. Just buy a decent microphone to go with it. And again, if agentsnation.com, we got tons of resources. You just Google external mic for insert smartphone. Anything that you use outside of what's on the camera is going to be better. So good audio is very important. People will watch a video that is not the perfect video quality a lot more than they will listen to or watch a video with bad audio quality. So please, please, please just have good audio. That drives me nuts more than anything. Two, you can use a webcam. I would maybe prefer the webcam action because it's going to give you a nice kind of stationary place to do your videos from to start, to get some practice, to have your home base to kind of open that door or pull the blinds up on the window into your office. So it's like, hey, I can envision this person selling me a policy here. There's nothing wrong with that to get started. So again, there's, people get overwhelmed with the gear, and that's honestly one of the biggest hurdles is getting past that. So don't be afraid to just play around with it. Big tip is that I'll save you the suspense, and this is something your wife or your business partner might not tell you right out of the gate, but it's going to be terrible. It will be awful when you first start making videos. So moving past, I would say probably by your 15th or 20th video, you should at least start having one or two people be able to watch the whole thing. And then from there, it should be all downhill. So knowing that it's going to suck really bad at first and being okay with that and having to kind of push aside that fear and judgment of people judging you publicly, and that'll happen, but nothing is going to make you improve faster than shipping a mediocre video, because once people see it on Facebook, it's a real thing in life. So you don't want to have that happen. I would say also it's okay to be entertaining. People have a hard time with that. They think I'm going to just lean on this knowledge, and that's fine. But don't be afraid to make it enjoyable, because insurance is boring. But at the same time, you can give that same presentation that you would if somebody was sitting across from your desk. So just have fun with it, but not too much fun, because then I've seen videos where it's this is just a bad after school special skit that I'm watching, and it's not fun for anybody. So, don't do that. However, always be ready if you are going to kind of work for that balance. I like to kind of view it as a 1-2 punch combination. It's like you kind of jab them with the entertainment just a little bit to kind of keep them engaged, to keep them enjoying the thing. But then you got to come with the right hook on the knowledge. But, hey, listen, no, we're having fun, but this is, I really know what I'm talking about with insurance. And then I'll leave these with the last two. I don't know how many I'm at, but the last two is be specific. Much to my contractor's example of my buddy Rob, you can make the best video in the world, but if you don't have a good title, if you don't have a good headline, if it's not focused on the right people, you're not delivering the right message, it's not going to do anything. So that would be a lot of wasted effort and energy. And then even further to that point, have some sort of call to action at the end. So, once you've got them watching, if you've had them get all the way through a video, please tell them what to do next. If it's call you, great. If it's, hey, go watch another series of videos here, putting together a video series, or if it's an ebook, or if it's fill out a contact us form. We can debate the strategy there, but just tell them to do something. Even if it's, just liking your page or signing up for your newsletter, figure something out. So it's not kind of wasted effort or energy. I think that's a pretty healthy list, Peter. What do you think?
That's a good, thanks, Joey. That's really good. I think it's going to suck really bad at first is probably the best one for folks to get over their insecurities, because so many people try something for the first time or second or third time, and they're discouraged, and they agents are so bad at this. They oh, we tried a postcard, it didn't work. Well, how many postcards did you send? You know, this I'm talking about the good old days of postcards. There's, you gotta stick. If it's a good strategy, good audience, good message, you gotta stick with it. So that's good advice. But sorry that we're out of time. I'd love chatting with you, Joey. We'll stay in touch for sure. Best of luck with TrustedChoice.com and Agency Nation in 2019. And thanks so much for being with us today.
Peter, man, it was a blast. I can't wait. Hopefully talk to you again soon, man. Thanks a lot.
You bet.